Get out of...
The cry of shock tore through the mansion, jerking everyone awake.
What the hell?
As the door had swung open, Dean was already grinning over his shoulder at Abe. So he first glimpsed the crouching mutie out of the corner of his eye, bathed in the spilled moonlight. The creature was hunched over, holding a long, thin-bladed knife point up. Its lipless mouth was open in a soundless snarl of bloody hatred, its pinpoint eyes glaring at the boy. It wore an assortment of torn rags and furs, and its head was totally bald, pitted with suppurating sores. The knife lunged toward the boy's throat, held in a gloved fist. Dean's bizarre upbringing had developed his reflexes so that he could almost match a striking rattler. He slammed the door as hard as he could, catching the mutie's forearms. The knife dropped to the floor of the hall. Abe stooped and picked it up.
Got it!
The hand pulled away. Dean pushed the door closed again, jerking the two bolts across to hold it shut. The whole incident took about 5 seconds from opening the door to clattering home the iron bolts again. By the time that Dean turned away toward the living room, his father was already standing there, his powerful blaster in his hand. JB was at his shoulder, Christy close behind the armorer.
Muties! Just seen one! Kid broke its arm! There must be others!
It was a fair judgment from an experienced fighting man. Muties didn't go around on their own. They lived and raided in groups, anywhere from a half dozen to a half hundred.
I'll take the top floor.
JB headed toward the stairs.
Watch all sides.
Mildred appeared.
Come on with me, Millie.
Sure, right behind you.
Doc and Michael came into the hall together, the younger man slowly knotting the cord around his waist.
Are we under attack, my dear friend?
Yeah. Stay here and watch the front door, Doc. Anything moves, wipe it away with your cannon. Michael, just keep out of the way.
As you say, Ryan.
Where in God's name did that come from?
The back of the house. Let's go.
Abe stayed with the old man and the teen, while Dean joined Christy and his father, racing along the narrow passage toward the kitchen quarters of the house, past the row of silent bells that hung on the wall, each one still bearing the faded label of a room in the mansion. Something was going on outside. Ryan guessed that Dean had discovered the meaty's attack only moments before they had been about to launch it, but those moments had given an edge to the defenders. Now each of the three groups faced different problems. JB had his Smith & Wesson M4000 cradled in his arms, the heavy 12-gauge cocked and ready. As he darted along the corridor on the second floor, his eye was caught by a glimmer of movement.
What?
The master bedroom, with the ornamental balcony. The impact of the flechettes tipped the dying mutie backward over the black iron railing, where its body landed on top of three other attackers, knocking them sprawling in the long, moonlit grass.
I'll take this side!
You go, girl!
On the second floor, things were going well for the defenders. Ryan burst into the scullery, seeing the kitchen ahead of him. The back door was swinging wide, and there were at least 8 or 9 muties between him and the open night. There was little light, and it was impossible to make out any details, just a group of figures waving knives. That first glance didn't show Ryan any blasters.
Shit!
A thrown knife bounced off the doorframe, inches from Ryan's throat.
Dean, Christy, back in the hall!
In the back of the mansion, things weren't going too badly for the defenders.
They wish us harm?
To bear shit in the woods? You triple stoop. Of course they want us dead. Probably want the wag. Well, everybody else is in the shit. Be coming our way anyway.
Oh, shit!
The double front doors crashed inward, and half a dozen muties stood poised on the threshold, like a pack of nightmare hunting animals. All had knives or axes.
Greetings, gentles all.
The leading attacker took most of the impact. Two of the others were also hit, but the muties had concentrated their main attack at this part of the big house, a dozen more appearing in the doorway.
Whoa, now it's a party!
It was too long to convert the Lama to a normal 9-round 36 caliber revolver.
En garde, mes amis! Come on, shit eaters!
Michael still hadn't moved. Things were not going so well for the three defenders by the front doors.
Shit! They're in!
JB and Mildred had heard the screams and shooting, as the main body of the muties attempted to break into the house through the vulnerable front doors. They raced to the top of the broad staircase into the hall and looked down into a scene of chaos and carnage. There were dead and dying muties near the smashed doors, kicking out and moaning in a welter of spilled blood. A number of separate battles were being fought in the half-light below them. Doc Tanner had slipped into a world of his own, where he wore the gold and crimson of the King's Musketeers, fighting for his life with D'Artagnan, Athos, Porthos, and Aramis at his shoulder against the sweating mob.
Aye, sirrah, and that! Take this message to your master, the treacherous cardinal, writ in your own blood!
The rapier flashed and danced, holding four of the muties at bay with the dazzling arc of hissing death. All of the attackers were wounded, blood streaming from chest or arm or face. But they still pressed the old man, panting open-mouthed, their own knives pecking toward him. Abe was in a bitter struggle, backed into a corner where he was tussling with two muties. One of them was unusually tall, grappling with him, trying to hold his knife arm. Ryan was swinging the panga, trying to fight his way toward the gunner to help him out, though the brawling press of numbers was telling against him. But JB's eyes were caught by the newest recruit to their group. Michael was in the shadows, stock still, and had only just attracted the attention of the attackers.
Dark night!
The armorer leveled the scattergun down into the hall, but the angle was poor, and the risk of hitting a friend rather than an enemy was far too great. Mildred had also raised her target pistol, but the melee of bodies swirled and shifted in the pallid gleam of the waning moon.
I can't get a shot off!
All they could do was look on helplessly as the clawing knives of the muties stabbed toward the young man. Michael took a deep breath, holding it in, his eyes staring at his opponents. If any of them had looked at him, they might have hesitated, turned away, but his dark brown eyes held a dreadful, cold threat. Michael had a slim dagger strapped to each hip in doeskin sheaths. Suddenly, they were drawn. He had been confronted by four muties, pushing at one another to be the one to relish the delight of butchering him. Now, they had vanished, each kneeling, falling, or rolling on the floor. Three of the four had their throats slit clear across, giving the appearance of an extra, ghastly, grinning mouth, red-lipped, spouting great fountains of blood. The fourth had been stabbed with immaculate accuracy through the very center of his left eye. Clear liquid seeped over the muti's stubbled, pocked skin, dripping over its chest. The quadruple slaughter tipped the balance in favor of the defenders. The muties lost heart at their appalling losses. They began retreating toward the front porch. JB aimed a Smith & Wesson, finger tight on the trigger. But it would have been a waste of a valuable round to fire into the backs of the muties as they ran away. Doc thrust at the neck of the last of his opponents. Ryan stood still, looking at the blood-slicked panga in his hand, wiping sweat from his forehead with his sleeve.